Welcome back to the Blessed Business Podcast. I'm your host, Hunter Haley, and joining me again today is Tony Pimpo. Welcome, Tony.
Thank you, sir. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we have been doing a number of different episodes, but ultimately what we're here to talk about is how you can connect mission to money, how you can develop yourself and embrace business as mission. And we've talked about that a lot, but part of business as mission and improving yourself and being a better person and being successful in business and having money to invest in the mission of the kingdom of God is that you have to know how to win friends and influence people. And everyone's
sounds
like,
familiar.
That's right. We're like, where is this going? So Dale Carnegie is a legend in this space. And obviously he wrote the book that kind of kickstarted, well, that really brought into vogue all the different self-help, you know, inspirational, you know, Zig Ziglar, Jim Rohn, and then you got Tony Robbins. Like a lot of these people can trace their roots back to people like Dale Carnegie, which was like some of the early forerunners of this movement of self-improvement.
Right. Personal development.
Personal development, right. So we're going to do a couple different episodes probably, but we're going to kickstart it today and see where this goes on kind of a summary of how to win friends and influence people.
Let's do it.
So just as kind of a general summary of the book, now it was a classic written many, many years ago, and we'll put links in the show notes for both a link to the book. It'll be an affiliate link, so if you click on it, it doesn't cost you any extra, but it will help us, give us a little bit of a kickback if you buy it on Amazon. But it's a really good book. There's a lot of different versions because the first one was written many, many, many years ago. I'm actually going back through an updated, revised version of it, and I really, really like it. Kind of modernizes it a little bit, so I'll link to that below. But we'll also include a link where you can go and download. We have worked with ChatGPT put some of our own effort into it. We have created a handout that kind of summarizes the book and all the different, the 30 principles that he has in this that's broken into four different parts. And so that's how kind of the book is summarized. And so we've got a little description and example for each of these. And so it just kind of puts it in a nice little package so you can kind of skim through this. If you don't read the whole book or wade through it all, which I do recommend, at least check that out. Right, Tony?
Yeah, for sure. Handy handout.
Handy handout, right. And so with that out of the way, let's dive in a little bit. So the four parts, I'll give you kind of an example for me and Tony dive in here is, you know, there's part one is fundamental techniques in handling people. And he gives some really good pointers for handling people. Because that's the thing is people will do business with people they know, like, and trust. I've said this when we've talked about marketing. That's really what marketing's about. So you have to learn how to handle people well, right? Mm-hmm. And then part two is six ways to make people like you. Again, people do business with people they know, like, and trust. And then part three or four is how to win people to your way of thinking. Now, this is really important because you want to be a persuasive person. If you're never persuasive, you're never going to get anywhere in life.
Right. In business, you're going to have to persuade.
Right. In business, you have to persuade. If and you may say, well, I'm not a business owner. Well, if you're going to get that job, you're going to have to persuade them through your resume and your interview and your work ethic and everything else to hire you and keep you, right? So if you're ever going to ask, if you're ever going to get married, right, you have to be willing to ask, pop the question, right? And so you have to be able to persuade people in order to really get ahead in life, relationally, financially, any number of ways. In the church, you know, if you're going to have someone come to visit church with you, you're going to have to invite them, right? You're going to have to give them a church card or give them a Bible study.
Right.
Right. So we know this is important. So it's important to know how to win people to your way of thinking. Now, you need to make sure your way of thinking is right?
Absolutely.
And be open if it's not. But that is very important. And then part four is be a leader. How to change people without giving offense or arousing resentment. And so this is really good. This is, I think, going to shape up. We may do a several part series on this, but we're just going to kind of dive in. And we've got, like I said, we've got the handout with kind of a detailed explanation for each of these is kind of a summary. It's not that detailed for where it's like reading the book. Obviously, just read the book. But it's just a good summary that kind of gives you some pointers for each of these different points. So in part one, why don't you go ahead and lead out and give us the kind of the highlights on the first couple points there with that, Tony. And the part one, again, was the fundamental techniques for handling people. How do we handle people, Tony?
Well, one of the things that the book calls out is just the principle of don't criticize, don't condemn, don't complain, right? So when you're in business and you're working with people and part of this is becoming someone that people like and want to do business with, right? Avoiding negative feedback, instead focusing on understanding and empathizing with the other person. A lot of that has to do with your perspective. So yes. Some of it isn't that you agree with them, but it's just that you're understanding where they're coming from. And I think letting people know that you're going to hear them out right from the start is part of that, part of empathizing and part of understanding. And, you know, maybe in that process, you're going to learn something new that you didn't know before. So you're going to get new information, you're going to get feedback, and that can affect your perspective. So, I mean, it's always a good idea to hear somebody out.
That's right.
Especially in this context, right?
Well, and that sounds a whole lot like what we talked about in the Art of Conflict Resolution. And when we did that episode a couple weeks ago or whatever, we didn't realize we were going to like kind of start this series. But it's very important that that you don't criticize and condemn or complain. Like you said, I what's the saying? Like, you know, I could complain, but nobody cares and no one would understand, and, you know, or something like that. Like, so, you know, really people are drawn... You know, as humans, we are drawn to negative things, but we're attracted, you know, into people that are positive, upbeat. And because when you're negative and you're being critical all the time, you're pushing people away.
And you're building up the natural response is to be defensive. Yes,
right. Because our body is designed to repulse things that have a negative impact on us.
Yes.
And if people don't have the reaction, then they've, you know, got a much bigger problem going where they're just like wallowing in the negativity, right? So there are some people like that. You don't want to be around those people because they aren't being successful. And that's what we want to be. It's we want to be successful. This is how you have a better life, not just a subpar life.
Right.
So point number two was give honest, and this is principle number two in it from his book, give honest and sincere appreciation. Now, I think the key with all of these things, I'd done a session at a church somewhere, and one of the people was talking to me afterwards, and was like, you know, I just don't feel genuine when I'm doing some of these things that we're going to be talking about, you know, giving honest, sincere appreciation, be like, hey, I really like your shoes. Like, but the thing is, you have to, if you are looking for it, you can find something to appreciate about the other person.
Right.
Even if they're dead wrong, you can maybe appreciate the level of passion and energy they're putting into their wrong perspective, right? So there's always something that you can do. So genuine compliments that are genuine.
Yeah.
And people can tell the difference. They know what faker.
That's the difference between a genuine compliment and flattery.
Yes.
Right? It's just the whole point of flattery is just to try to make the person feel good, and it may not be... you know, true. And that's or it's true, but your motivation is wrong. Right. So
right.
Honest and sincere appreciation is just finding something good to say about that person or letting them know if you do appreciate them, telling them that.
Yes.
Right. And sometimes it's harder when you don't know someone very well. Right. It's, mm-hmm. It becomes more easy the more that you learn about someone and you interact with them. But I think there are ways that we can, find good things to say about people that we meet, you know, even if it's like somebody that's serving you at a restaurant complimenting their attentive service, if they were, you know, or finding something right. to say that's positive. I think that can kind of change the whole tone of whatever you're doing.
Well, and that's the thing is being appreciated and recognized can inspire positive feelings in people and a willingness to engage further, because the thing is, you know, you don't have a second chance to make a first impression.
Right.
And so when you approach someone, it's very important how you do that. And the other thing is, like, if you're going through these things and you're like, well, don't criticize, don't condemn, don't complain, be honest, give sincere appreciation. The truth of the matter is you have to work to avoid being critical, because that's a natural tendency. And you have to work to find an honest and sincere way to appreciate someone.
Right.
If you're married, like I'm married, you know, after you get past the honeymoon phase, like sometimes you have to work to find the time and the ability to set, or not the ability, but the time to set aside, say, hey, look, I'm going to take my wife out for a date this week, or I'm going to appreciate, even though we may have conflict and we may have, you know, experienced some, you know, less than pleasant, you know, conversation, I'm still going to find ways to appreciate that person. The people that do that have thriving and wonderful relationships in marriage or in business, but people that just like hold people out and they're always looking for the negative and they aren't willing to do the hard work of finding good things to uplift about other people, they're going to miss out on the opportunity to really handle people better.
Right.
Handle them well.
Absolutely.
So what's principle number three from the book, Tony?
Principle three states that you should arouse in the other person an eager want. So that's an interesting statement, right? Mm-hmm. It you could go many different directions with it. But basically, we need to understand the other person's desires. What's actually motivating them, mm-hmm. right?
Driving them?
Yes. Yeah, what's their driving purpose in that conversation, in that business deal? And you kind of position yourself, especially in the business realm, as someone who can help them achieve what they're looking for.
Yes.
Right? Your product, your service. Guy. You're the guy. You're the person.
Sound
that...
Sound like Donner Miller now.
Yeah. Right? So doing that enables you to align your expectations with theirs, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the essence of, you know, serving that other person. Is really finding out what motivates them, why they're, if it's your store, why are they there?
Right.
You know, if they're negotiating a contract, they obviously need your service or, you know, whatever you're providing. So I think focusing on what you can do to create that desire in them for whatever you're offering, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, absolutely. Because the thing is, if they're, I like how you use the word eager want. Like if they don't eagerly want what you, if you haven't aroused enough curiosity and desire and proven on a very quick pace, hey, this is why this is important to you. And Donald Miller, I've mentioned him. We talk about it every time we talk about marketing because he's genius at this. But just human communication boils down to what's in it for me. You know, what are you offering in this conversation, or what are you offering in this product or service, and what's in it for me, and how do we proceed?
Yeah.
And so that's important. So.
Some of it too is humility. And, you know, it sounds kind of interesting in this context, but, you know, there's always a desire in us to like, you know, I'm going to sell you on this, yes. right? There's yeah, just, yeah. I mean, it's just kind
but
of
people
a,
know that sleazy salesman, yes. you know, like where you're trying to make the sale because you're trying to get that commission. People know that.
Right.
That's where the sincerity and the honesty and actually working to care and about other people's interests really shines through.
Yes. There it's is not all just about the win. You know what I'm saying? No. And it's not like, oh man, we negotiated that and we just made it. Right. Well, and there's some, you know, some of it can be fun. Business is fun.
Sure.
But I think making sure that you are creating that desire in them and meeting that need kind of changes your perspective mm-hmm. on what can I do to make this work. Mm-hmm. So that's a part of it too.
Well, and I think a lot of, you know, we talk about, so how do we do these things? All right, so we'll just kind of summarize part one here before going on to part two is fundamental techniques in handling people is one, don't criticize, condemn, or complain. Number two is give honest and sincere appreciation. And number three is arouse in the other person an eager want, a desire, right? Mm-hmm. And so I really feel like all of these kind of build on each other. Because if you're trying to arouse someone to be eagerly want to participate in what you're proposing, if you start off with criticism, you're going to kill that. Right. If you start condemning or complaining, especially condemning, right, mm-hmm. that puts up a wall with people. So how, let's go through a couple practical scenarios maybe you could help us out with as far as what are some real life scenarios for some of these and how could we apply this? Maybe we could talk through some of this. So like if, you know, let's take the don't criticize, condemn, or complain. Someone, your boss at work is having a rough day and he gives you a hard assignment, right? And you're standing there at the water cooler and you're complaining to other people. So if that's what your tendency is, Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what you've always done. How can you change that today? Or like you come home from work, and in my case, you know, you complain to the wife, or the wife, you're complaining to your husband about, you know, oh, this customer at work was blah, blah, blah. If your tendency is to do that, what are some ways that you can program yourself to not be that way?
Well, the first thing, I think, like you said, these things do build on each other. I think it would just be say less at the start, right? I mean,
take
you know,
a breath.
If you can't find anything good to say, don't say anything at all. You know, that old statement, right?
There's wisdom there.
There is, right. So I think maybe the first step is just stop talking if what you're saying is consistently negative. Mm. And I think that gives you a little bit of space to incorporate the other aspects, right? So the other things are positive things. Give honest and sincere appreciation. That's a positive thing. Mm-hmm. Arousing the other person an eager want. That's a positive thing. But don't criticize, condemn, or complain is something that's it's a negative. It's a stop. It's a don't do this, mm-hmm. right? So the first thing is just say less, you know. And from there, you can have that clarity to try to change your perspective on, you know,
give yourself time to process.
Right.
Instead of just whatever immediately pops into your mind, instead of letting just flop out there like I do a lot of times. But instead, just letting, giving yourself time to process. I remember I may have mentioned this before, but the 10 canons to live by, I believe it was Thomas Jefferson. I had that. My mom had gotten that for me. I had it framed for a long time. It was on my bathroom wall. And one of the 10 canons or points was that if you're angry, count to 10. If very angry, count to 100 before responding. And that, there's wisdom in that because it gives your brain time to get out of the fight or flight mode where you're just dumping.
Yeah.
And instead just like cool it off and process and think about it from the other perspective. But the other thing I would add to that is, yes, slowing down and processing and saying less. But I also think that a lot of what we speak is reflective of what we're allowing into our lives. You know, I think of Psalms 1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers or sinners, right? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. What you're thinking about and what you're putting into your brain, if you have, and this isn't necessarily the power of positive thinking or whatever, but there is truth in that, that from the standpoint that what you start putting in your mind, if you're listening to negative news apps and political stuff and like the world is ending and like you're sitting at that water cooler listening to, you know, the your coworker, maybe you're not contributing, but your coworker is just slamming the boss because he's frustrated because he actually made him try to do his job or something, you know?
Yeah.
If you're letting negative influences infiltrate your thoughts, that's what's going to start to come out and you're going to be more negative.
Right.
And so again, with Psalms 1, I like, he says you walk, he walks not in the counsel of the wicked. So you're walking, right? And then standing in the way of sinners and then seating in the seat of scorners or scoffers. Mm-hmm. So you went from walking to now you're kind of standing and hanging out to like you're sitting down and participating.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And so there's a progression there, but instead it says blessed is the man who doesn't do those things. He's not walking. He's not giving ear to it. It's not like walking in the way, letting that person talk with you, right? And he's not standing there giving that person or that those voices time, and they're not sitting down to participate, but instead they're delighting in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on this day and night. So what you think about impacts how your perspective.
And who you're around, as that verse, those verses indicate.
Right, the atmosphere that you're creating for yourself.
Yeah, and some of it too is who is actually leading you, right? Because in that, the implication there is that the person is following the direction of others, right? They're not being a leader. So are you walking with them or are they walking with you, right? If they're walking with you, you can hopefully lead them to another place, right? Mm-hmm. But if they're the ones in charge and you're just around negativity all the time, that's going to affect you.
Yeah.
So, and that's true spiritually. It's true in the natural world.
Yeah. I can remember a number of different situations in business where I had a conversation with a guy yesterday We, you know, owner finance land. And so we sometimes have people that can't, you know, continue to make their payments. And so we need to take them. I mean, it's business is business. We have to take the property back. And so, but it's never a pleasant thing. I don't look forward to that, but it's just, you know, the nature of the beast, right? You know, and if people don't pay, they have to leave. And so but instead of calling him up and complaining and condemning him and criticizing him and say, well, why haven't you paid or whatever, call him and say, hey man, you've been a good customer. You've been faithful. Like, you know, what's going on or whatever. And that gave him the opportunity. We'll talk about one of the other principles is giving people time to save face or the opportunity. He was like, well, man, I really had no problem making this payment when I started, but you know, I had all these big contracts and like the economy has shrunk and like I've got all these crews and I've had to let some of them go, or, you know, I've had to sell this truck. I've do the, you know, all these different things. And so instead of me calling and criticizing, complaining, instead I gave him voice and I gave sincere and honest appreciation.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, that
you've
was that
been
principle.
A good customer. Even though this is a negative, this is obviously a customer who's falling short of their obligations. I still took time to find and appreciate that they did pay their down payment. They did make regular monthly payments. They've just hit a tough time. And so, but then I aroused their eager want to participate in my proposal. So my proposal was, hey, look, if you continue on, you're like, you know, $1,500 behind on your payment. If you want, you can try to pay that, and then it's going to continue to be a struggle because obviously the situation has changed. I said, or if you want, I will release you from the contract, and if you do it that way, I'll give you a $2,000 credit towards a future purchase if it's within the next 12 months of property from us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in his mind, he's thinking, okay, I'm already behind. I'm about to lose this property anyway, and they're going to have to terminate my contract. And I told him, I said, if we do it this way, well, we're not going to report on your credit. We're not going to do this.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
we'll waive all the back payments. So it just wipes the slate clean and you can continue being a good customer in our eyes. And hopefully we'll do business together in the future. So basically what I did is I put something out there where I understood where he was coming from. The reason he didn't want to just give up the property is because he didn't want to lose the money he had invested in, or at least not all of it. Right. But he also was in a financial situation he couldn't continue. And so by recognizing that, not criticizing him, but giving him sincere and honest appreciation for what he had done, and then throwing him a lifeline to engage him, to get him eagerly wanting to be on board with that.
Yeah.
Because I said, otherwise, if you don't, then we're going to send you out the termination, or there's another way we can terminate the contract, and you don't get all those benefits.
Right.
And so by laying that on the table, I was able to get him to eagerly want to sign, and he signed the same day. And now we're actually getting someone else interested in rebuying that property because we were able to free up that asset. Whereas if we rewind the first time that that guy called us and we addressed the situation and we were trying to be, you know, like, hey, what's going on? He hung up on us.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't an accident.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, and we had two or three not so pleasant interactions, but it was because the conversation was a non-starter. He assumed, probably, or was just kind of ashamed of the situation, that we were going to criticize, complain. But when instead I took time to shoot him a text and kind of explain the situation, then I got on the phone, and the way I handled it made a huge difference in how it ended, I feel like.
It turned into a successful outcome, and that relationship is preserved. You don't want to leave a trail of just burned bridges and scorched earth.
Because he could totally be a good customer in the future.
Right.
I mean, business owner does well normally. Mm-hmm. I don't want to make him feel bad and it's his fault that the economy took a downturn.
And if someone he knows talks about wanting land or a place to hunt or whatever, who's he going to recommend?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
If you can, and some people are just not going to want to work with you, but most, I think, if you deal with them in that way, you can greatly increase your chances of successful outcomes for everybody.
Yes. I was on a call today with someone that was interested in getting into the land business, and they're taking one of the courses that I have on it. And he asked me that question. He's like, so how often do you have to take, you know, legal action, you know, to get these back? And I said, really? I said, 90 to 95, maybe 98% of the time we get people willingly will sign the paper releasing the property, and we don't have to go through legal channels to do it. I said, because of how we handle it.
Yep.
It's not that we're some great experts or we're angels or I'm just a genius or nothing like that, but these principles work. If you apply them to your business, you know, you can turn negative situations and turn them around to be positive.
Yes, absolutely.
And so that's fundamental techniques in handling people. Yes. You know, it's interesting. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. But, you know, your Christianity shows, because we're talking about business as mission. When I went up to the church and prayed today, I was praying, God, I want to demonstrate, I want to be an example when I'm operating my business such that I can be a testimony even on the job. And the thing is, your Christianity is not tested when everything's going good.
Yes.
But it's when men revile you, when people do you wrong, when people do you dirty, when people that, you know, or people that are customers, people that, you know, that should know to do better, treat you wrong, right?
Right.
In those, what I call friction moments.
Mm-hmm.
When it rubs you the wrong way, right? Or where the situation is tense. That's where you have the greatest opportunity to let your witness shine. So by the time we got to the end of that call, I said, man, I'm going to be praying that God helps your business turn around and that we'll be able to be customers in the future. By the time we get off the call, he's like, man, I really thank you. And you have a blessed day. So we went from feeling negative, you know, depressed, you know, taking back the property to now we're, you know, basically almost to the point of talking about God,
right,
you know, and like prayer. And the way you, and so that's the kind of way I want to operate. I don't want to be the guy. I don't want to, I mean, I'm a pretty soft person. So I don't want to be the guy that's calling up and like, you didn't pay your bills. And
yeah.
I don't want to be a debt collector.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you want to be a good witness. You want to make sure that if that person comes to church,
right,
the interaction that you're going to have with them is good.
Yeah, that's a good point. So you want your interactions in those friction moments. This is why it's important to understand these principles.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you can mishandle people.
Yeah, and you can not look at these things as what they are, which is they're all integrated.
Oh, yes.
There's not like a separate, this is my work life, this is my home life,
yes,
right? You need to make sure that your whole life is integrating these principles.
And the thing is, and this may be convicting for a lot of people, it was for me for many years until I started embracing these principles. Through revelation and preaching of God's word that I heard and reading God's word. But the way you interact in situations like that, like the way I treated him, if I had treated him in a totally different way, which would have been more normal, probably what he was expecting of, you know, criticizing him, yelling at him, not working with him. If I had done that, how awkward would it have been if he steps into church one day?
Right.
Or I feel God tugging on my heart saying, you know, he's going through a tough time. He needs you to invite him to church. And the last conversation I had with him was basically like a, you know, bill collector,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and using those techniques.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way you interact, the way you live your life every day, and the way you interact with your coworkers, your customers, your employees, whoever you're working with in your daily vocation, the way you interact with them, are they going to see a vast difference? Will it be awkward for you to show up and see them at church?
Right.
Because if it is, you need to change.
Absolutely. If you can't go to church with the people that you have done business with.
Even the people that have done you wrong or that have had friction situations.
Right. Absolutely. If you, then there is something wrong.
Then you did something wrong.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it goes back to being a Christian is you're not going to please everyone. Mm-mm. There's going to be those people that are complete jerks. That's just what they
are.
And
they're just going to be mad at you because
they're going to be mad because they're going
to
be mad.
Yeah. Right. And you can't do that. You can't expect to, you know, have 100% success rate.
But the way you treat them,
yes,
will determine whether or not it's awkward for you or it's awkward for them.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
Because they could walk in and if they didn't, were just unwilling to be reasonable,
yes,
you're not going to feel like there was something you could have done.
Right.
Right? It's going to be, like you said, not be on their account. And that's actually, that's also another way of witnessing.
Absolutely. Because
they know they didn't treat you right, but you're still continuing to
do
the right thing, treat them right.
You're handling people correctly.
Exactly.
So, again, fundamental techniques for handling people. Well, that was only 3 points out of the 30. So, but those are big points.
Yeah,
right?
They were.
And so I think we'll come back to do part 2, 3, and maybe 4 if we can get to it. But again, if you want a more detailed version of this that kind of outlines just kind of the whole outline of the book here with all the points, then definitely check out that handout in the show notes. And there's something that you could do for us. We are trying to grow the podcast. And if you're finding value in this, the one thing that we really would ask that you do is that you share this with someone else. shout us out on Instagram or social media, share the episode, find someone that you think would really appreciate the content that we're putting out there and make a big difference in their life. And you'll be doing two good deeds. You'll be doing a good deed for us and a good deed for them. Mm-hmm. And so kill two birds with one stone, or maybe catch two butterflies with one net, as one person said. Maybe that's a little bit nicer. And feel free to share.
Politically correct version.
That's right. That's right. Let's soften it here a little bit, since we are talking about, how to win friends and influence people. But we want you to be a positive influence. And the way you can be a positive influence is sharing the Blessed Business Podcast.
Send it to your angry boss. No, I'm just kidding.
Send it to the people in your life that need this the most.
Yeah. Right. Just thought you could use this. No, it's probably not the best strategy.
Maybe try a little different strategy, but somehow sneak it in there, like accidentally leave a copy on their desk and be like, I was reading this the other day. I mean, you're welcome to borrow it if you want. I don't need it back right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, thank you again for your time and attention. Thank you, Tony, for jumping on this with me. And it has been a pleasure as always. And hopefully you guys are enjoying it. Hopefully y'all are actively sharing it right now. And if you need any resources, we've got a ton of books and resources. We've got online courses coming out, a lot of things. If you go to theblessedbusiness.com, that's www.theblessedbusiness.com. Tons of resources, blog posts, more episodes, again, courses, all kinds of resources, lots of things there. So check it out, share it with a friend, and tune in next time. God bless.